In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Happy New Year. It's good to see you this morning. I want to thank you for joining us from your home. I hope for your sake that you've got a fresh cup of coffee and you can sit there in your pajamas and enjoy the service. As we reflect on the last year, we know that there were many challenges. And as we look to the future, we look for many opportunities. And we do so in the context of the Christmas story and our willingness to move forward. In my family and with close friends, there's been great debate over the last several years about the events of Christmas. I get questions like, "Stephen, you can't possibly believe that a sky filled with angels showed up to a bunch of shepherds and announced the good news of the coming of Jesus. You can't possibly believe that a couple that was still engaged arrived in a town together and slept in some tiny barn and gave birth to a baby that was created by God. You can't possibly believe that a king would actually be concerned about a little kid taking over his throne, and you can't possibly believe that three wise men would show up and offer gifts to this tiny infant born in a barn. It just doesn't make any sense." I often sit with a smile on my face as I'm listening to all this because they are explaining to me in great detail what I shouldn't believe. You and I live in an age of tremendous confusion and uncertainty. We live in a time and a place and a space of ambivalence. There are folks of yes and no and maybe so. And then if we want any greater clarity, we tune into as many news networks as possible, only to come to the conclusion we wish we hadn't. It is a personal choice to believe. It is a personal choice to believe in the gospel that reveals for us that God had sent the Son that had existed since before the beginning of time for us. And that that child was born so that Jesus could walk alongside humanity and fully and completely comprehend who we are, how we feel, what we think, and what our needs are. To forever be able to stand at the throne of grace and advocate on our behalf. And whether you believe all the details as outlined in Scripture of the birth of Jesus, the Logos is absolutely clear. This was God's gift to humanity. A child who would grow into the Christ, who would grow to be the Savior of the world. Now, when we look at it in that context, it all seems very straightforward and simple, but it's when it gets personal that things seem to get confusing. How is that Christ child relevant to me? How is the experience of the gospel touch my life? And so I want to work with the theme this morning of light and divide it into a few sections as I unpack the possibilities for a brand new year. The first thing is that when Christ was sent as the light of the world, he was to illuminate the truth about God's love and grace and mercy in our lives. Everything that he taught, everything that he said, everything that he did illuminated that truth for humanity. A humanity that was struggling in darkness, in confusion, and in chaos. That message changed the world forever. It even changed how we see time, how we experience the years gone by, BC and AD. It even changes the calendar year. And no matter where you are in your faith, you know that the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus changed the world forever. But the question is, how does it change you and me? Has it a change that we see the world? Do we get up every morning with the intention to be illumined by the presence of Jesus Christ? or to find 20 reasons why we just don't like our life. Things haven't turned out the way we expected, the way we wanted, the way we needed. Oh, and by the way, we're not going to do anything about it because it's easier to wallow in the misery. But there's another choice. And it's a choice about getting up every single day and deciding to see the light of Christ in everyone you meet. And to be that light on behalf of Christ with everyone you meet. To be the wise people of our generation and seek out Jesus in every opportunity we can. I had an amusing experience yesterday. We're all supposed to stay home or at least away from each other. And so a small group of friends got together that have been in our, what do we call it now, bubble. Oh my goodness, a brand new term that'll last for the next generation. Our grandchildren are going to be asking what our bubble was. Anyway, we got together 6 to 12 feet apart, making sure that the dogs accompanied us so that we would have a distraction for the fact that we were trying to find the light in the situation. And then we walked, and we walked, and we walked. You know, when you've got a small group of friends together and you're out in the bush, there's a pretty good chance that at least one person's going to decide that they know which way you should be going. Now, not that there's any footprints in the snow at all in that direction. But it might be an adventure to try a brand new way. Oh, and we did. At least 3 or 4 new ways over a period of several hours. I ran out of the cookies in my pocket. I began to wonder where the next meal was coming from, and I certainly could use a glass of water, and I knew that my feet were tired, and the only thing that saved us and got us home was that it was light outside. We could see the general direction. Imagine being lost in the darkness in the bush. We were so grateful for the light, at least I was. I kept looking for the general direction of home. Aren't we all every day searching for the general direction of home? It is the light that illumines even the untrodden paths, even the ways in which we are encouraged, if not insisted, that we go. As long as there's light, we feel safer about new adventure. As long as we feel God's presence and the presence of God in others, we feel safe to go new directions with new opportunities and new experiences. You and I in this new year will be surrounded by Herods. Now, I can get unpleasant about it and describe what I really think of Herod, but let me try to be gentle. He was either a psychopath, a borderline personality, or worse. We have many titles, don't we? I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that he had mental health issues that they didn't understand that they might have been able to fix, because God forbid he was a national public leader who deliberately and intentionally was abusive. Isn't it good that things have changed so much in 2,000 years? We will experience Herods in our life, people that discourage us, frustrate us, try to distract us from where we're going in this new year. And the best thing to do is to stay as far away from them as we possibly can. And here's the harder part, to pray God's direct intervention into their life. But mostly to focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Who and what are we going to believe? How will we grow in that faith so that when all of the other challenges come at us, we are spiritually prepared for those challenges? It's a brand new year with brand new opportunities and experiences. And what we need to pray for is God's Son, Jesus Christ, to illuminate our experience, to guide us into new and healthy paths that would be a blessing not only to ourselves, but to our family, our friends, and our community. Know this, that every time you walk out the door, there are others looking for people of the light, people who have been illumined by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to be near those people. May we represent the light of Christ in this coming year. A light that illumines love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.